Previously, India was a great land of philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all acharyas previous to him traveled throughout the land and met with scholars and convinced them on the basis of philosophy of the superiority of their teachings. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Rai on the bank of the Godavari River, they, first of all, when they met, there was a great ecstasy in their meeting. They were so happy to meet each other that they embraced, they trembled, they cried, even though apparently they didn't know each other. But as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, Srila Ramananda Rai is actually Vishakha Gopi. So the relationship between Krishna and the gopi assistants, Radha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. So their relationship is eternally established. So there was great ecstasy when they met, which they did not continue to exhibit, or they suppressed the expression of their emotional feelings because non-devotees were present. Those who, the brahmanas and others who were accompanying Rai Ramananda, were, they had an extremely mundane outlook. They thought, why is this sannyasi embracing a shudra? They considered Rai Ramananda, who is the greatest of all devotees, to be merely a shudra, because by caste he was what is equivalent to the Kayasta class in Bengal, who are very expert in administration. Therefore he'd been appointed as the governor of the southern provinces of the kingdom of Maharaj Prataparudra of Orissa, that what's now called Orissa. That time was known as Utkal. His capital was at Katak, and his kingdom extended deep into the south of India. So he had appointed Ramananda Rai as his governor, and he had the privileges of a governor when he went to take bath in the holy river. He was accompanied by brahmanas who had performed different rituals and so many things. But they considered he's a Mishudra, and this is a sannyasi, which means he's from Brahmana caste. Sannyasi in those days meant had to be from Brahmana caste. But he's embracing a Shudra. A very mundane outlook they had. And he appears to be very happy in doing so. He's crying. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that these mundane brahmanas, they had such a mundane outlook, they were simply committing offenses, or they were so fortunate to be in the presence of the Supreme Lord and his topmost devotee, that they... But they could not appreciate that due to their mundane vision. Maybe you should all come inside a little bit. There's a huge space right there. Actually, we should have all these big stadiums for Krishna Katha. They have stadiums for these nonsense cricket games. But that should, the stadium was full for the recent, there was a recent test match in, yes, Bangalore. It was full up. Huh? Yes. If you say Krishna Katha, they won't come. If you show some cheating so-called Swami, then they'll come paying money. People are so unfortunate. Just like these brahmanas at Vijayanagar, they were unfortunate. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged to meet Ramananda Roy again, separately and privately. This time Ramananda just brought one servant, not a big fanfare. So he just brought one servant, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his philosophical discussions with Ramananda Roy. Now his discussions with Ramananda Roy, we'll find Prabhupada made this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Who's read that book? I also read it. So, Prabhupada described this as exactly the words I don't remember, but he said this is our topmost contribution to the world, this book. So it's very important to read this. So in that book, he has summarized the conversation, the philosophical conversations that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had that are recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That means his discussions with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati. So these were dialectic discussions in which they were discussing philosophy as a debate with Mayavadis. And there are also his didactic discussions. He's teaching the science of Krishna consciousness to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And there's also didactic discussion. Didactic means that which is meant for instruction, especially some religious or moral instruction, with Ramananda Roy, in which Ramananda Roy is teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got so much mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the teacher of the whole world, he taught the topmost theological conclusions, the most important theological the highest theological discussion that ever took place is that between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took the position of a student. Although Ramananda said that actually you are giving the answers through me, you know everything, but you are taking the position of a student and making me speak. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can we just change this water and rinse the glass and I'll take it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked, Ramananda Roy to describe what is sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? Sadhya means that which is the goal of all practices, and sadhana means the practices themselves. So the practices are meant to lead to a particular goal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, you please explain what is sadhya sadhana tattva. This formed the first part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Roy. So Ramananda Roy, understanding the intent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, did not at first speak. He did not at first speak what is the sadhya sadhana tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it. That was accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many forms of sadhana in this world. And some people say that, well, all the different sadhanas, they all lead to the same result. I think leave it now because it'll cause more. Yeah, but it'll it causes so much. Then everyone will be mic conscious instead of Krishna conscious. It's whatever happens. If there's any slight, if anyone's doing any small thing during a class, whatever, however important the topic is, they'll all be looking at that person. We have so, we're so poorly accustomed to hearing Krishna katha. Any little disturbance, we immediately all our attention goes to that. So there are many different sadhanas, and some people claim that all paths lead to the same goal. Which actually, by saying this, he actually insults not only the Vaishnava acharyas, but all the acharyas of all the different paths, because they all used to argue with each other, trying to establish their own philosophy. So he tried to make a harmony between, to stop all this religious debating by saying that, well, all the paths lead to the same goal. But the actual result of that is that people stopped discussing philosophy at all. They said, well, all paths lead to the same goal, so it's all, whatever you do, it's all the same. So by this supposed philosophy of Jato Mat Tato Pat, it destroyed the whole philosophical ethos within India. And so nowadays people have no idea of any philosophy. No one's even interested in philosophy. And so different philosophies were there. There were wrong philosophies, right philosophies, and in between. But nowadays there's no interest in any philosophy because of this Mayavad. As Prabhupada pointed out, that even Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, he would have been disgusted with these people who say all paths lead to the same goals, because they're totally anti-philosophical approach and the murgi mission. The sannyasis are allowed to eat chickens and they have chicken farms to support their mission. So this Shankaracharya, he would have been disgusted with them. So that there are different sadhanas means because there are different concepts of what is sadhya, what is the goal of life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? And Ramananda Rai started off by describing the minimum level of Vaishnavism, which is Vanashram Acharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tatto Shakaranam. This verse was spoken in the Vishnu Purana in reply to the question, how can people attain to Vishnu Bhakti? So this is the minimum level of Vishnu Bhakti, that by following the process of Varnashram, people can worship, they can satisfy Lord Vishnu. We also have the Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, Svei Svei Kamanya Bhirata Sangsiti Labhate Nara Swakamanam Tamabhyacha Siddhing Vindati Manava. By performance of one's own work, according to the Varnashram system, one can worship the Lord. This has been misconstrued into the slogan, work is worship. But that's not exactly what Krishna says. He says that by performance of one's work and by worship of the Lord, he can be satisfied. So this is the Varnashram system. That this is the beginning stage of Vishnu Bhakti. If work within the Varnashram system not exactly the caste system, but the Varnashram is not the caste system, as is construed of in the modern age. But the Varnashram system, according to Guna and Karma, one is known as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So if one works within this Varnashram system with the specific purpose of satisfying the Lord, then that can be considered as karma yoga. So that is the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Ramananda himself could have predicted, rejected this. Eho bhajya age kahoha. This is external. Tell some more. He didn't say it's totally bogus, but he said that it's external to the intrinsic need of the jiva. So like this, Ramananda went on to describe various levels: Nishkam Karma Yoga, Kama Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. He even, in the course of his description of what are different levels, or what are different concepts of sadhya, sadhana, tattva, the goal of life and how to attain it, he also quoted Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja ahang tvang sava papa ebhyo mokshe shami mashucha. Krishna says that you abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. To this also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho bhajya age kahoa. Which might seem quite shocking, because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna presented this as the most confidential knowledge that I'm going to speak to you. But then as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, this is external. There must be more than this. So, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to elicit from Rai Ramananda is selfless devotional service to Krishna. That it's Krishna's making a deal. You surrender to me, I'll deliver you from sinful reactions. But as later acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pointed out, that in this proposition, you surrender to me, take shelter in me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. There's no explicit description or mention of a development of actual love for Krishna. You surrender to me, I'll look after you. There's no explicit mention of love for Krishna. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted the proposition of Rai Ramananda as he was going up in a better and better stages. He accepted the concept Jnana Shunya Bhakti, Jnane Prayasam Udapasya, the endeavor to know simply by knowledge, which is so much lauded in Vedic culture, knowledge. Even today in India, people are respected for their knowledge. If someone has 2 PhDs or something like this, or even 1 PhD, people respect that very much. Gradually it's changing, that it is not, one is not respected for his knowledge, but as for his money, which is more in the West. In the West, even when I was a child, we had a PhD lab assistant. He couldn't get any better job but to be a lab assistant. So in our school, we had a PhD lab assistant. We didn't care he had a PhD. We didn't give a damn. He's just a lab assistant, you know. What do we care for him? But in India, people respect if one has knowledge. And they sometimes they call the schools Vidya Mandir, because they think that knowledge in and of itself is something spiritual. Because previously in India, knowledge meant jnana, means not how to get, not how to get a degree so you can get a job, but knowledge, jnana means shastric knowledge, and specifically jnana, that particularly meant Vedanta jnana. To study the Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, to become a Karma Kandi priest, that was not respected as much as being a jnani in the sense of studying the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra. So that was considered by many the apex of human endeavor, to be a jnani. And with jnana, it is expected that side by side there will be vairagya, because those who study the Upanishads, they're mostly interested in cultivating this impersonal kind of jnana. So yesterday we were reading how the Mayavadi sannyasis, they rebuked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Vedanta Patan Dhyan Sanyasira Dharma, that the dharma of a sannyasi is to study the Upanishads, Vedanta, and to perform dhyana, meditation, which dhyana means to perform this, one should be, to perform actual dhyana, one should live a very renounced life. Nowadays, what they call dhyana, that these people are completely bogies, but then they're feeling too much stress, so they do some so-called meditation for 15 minutes in the morning, clear out their stress, and then go on with full tivra bhoga, instead of tivra bhakti, very hard working, and get lots of money, and then enjoy life like anything, and then 15 minutes in the morning, now I'm refreshed and settled, and now ready for another day's hard work and hard sense enjoyment. So this is not the actual concept of dhyan. Dhyan means, first there must be yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyaharana, dharana, then dhyana. After much, dhyan can take place after following the different rules and regulations, prescribing what to do, what not to do, learning how to sit, breath control, pranayama, then pratyahara, withdrawing the mind from sense objects, dharana, fixing the object of meditation, then only meditation can take place. So dhyana, this means that it must be preceded by withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, for leading an austere life. So this was considered the pinnacle, this jnana, Vedanta jnana, was considered the pinnacle of Vedic civilization. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Rai Ramananda's proposal, that Rai Ramananda himself appeared to be like a big bogey. He was the governor. And coming from a lower caste, there was no question of him being a sannyasi according to the understanding prevalent at that time, that one has to be born in Brahmin caste, then only he can take sannyas. So he appeared to be like a big bogey. He was, but he actually understood the import of Vedic knowledge. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vedic knowledge from him. When Ramananda protested, "You're a sannyasi, how are you going to listen to me? I'm just a shudra." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene noi jay krishna tatta veta shi guru hoy. One who knows the science of Krishna, never mind, they may be a sannyasi or they may not be a sannyasi. They may be a Brahmin, maybe not. They may be a shudra. by caste. But if one knows the science of Krishna, then he's actually qualified to be guru. This is the qualification. Whereas, Shadkarma Nipano Vipra Mantra Tantra Visharadaha Avaishnava Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Svapacha Guru. One may be highly qualified Brahmana, very knowledgeable in all the different mantras and tantras, but if he's not a Vaishnava, if he is an Avaishnava, non-Vaishnava, not qualified to be a guru. Whereas even if a Vaishnava born in a family of dog eaters, he can and must be a guru because he knows what is Krishna Tattva. So, Ramananda, he quoted Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost Vedic literature, that the endeavor to amass knowledge, this endeavor, which is so highly regarded in human society, that should be given up. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam. He's quoting Lord Brahma, who's speaking to Krishna, that one should give up the endeavor to fill one's head with all different kinds of knowledge that is not related to Krishna, and instead should become humble, which is the prerequisite to hear from devotees of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated this. He was a sannyasi, but he heard from an apparent shudra and a householder, apparently externally a very materially attached person, Ramananda Rai. Later on, when Ramananda Rai came to live in Puri, there was one incident that Pradyumna Mishra, who by family relation appeared to be like the uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Brahmin caste, therefore, Mishra, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "I wish to hear Krishna Katha from you." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I don't know. And if I do know anything, it's what I learned from Ramananda. So why don't you go and hear from him?" So Pradyumna Mishra agreed. He agreed to hear from a shudra, apparent shudra, and worldly man. When he went to meet Ramananda, he was asked to sit down and made to wait for a long time, which if a Brahmin comes to your home, you should respect him and greet him. But Ramananda Rai, after a long time he came, and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't know you, they didn't tell me you were here. And actually what Ramananda Rai had been doing, he had been training some young girls how to dance for Lord Jagannath, training them in dramatical postures, and he prepared them for dancing for Lord Jagannath by decorating their bodies and personally bathing their bodies. So Pradyumna Mishra, when he came to know of this, he was surprised that how did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu send me to him? He appears to be a very lusty person, that he's personally decorating and bathing these young dancing girls. It doesn't seem to be shishtacha, or proper behavior of a saintly person. However, he had great faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and instead of running away and saying, "Well, I'm being cheated, these are all rascals," he submitted his doubt to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that how is it that, you see, you sent me to Ramananda to learn about Krishna, but he appears to be very lust. He didn't say that, but a doubt came that he didn't come to see me because he was busy training these dancing girls. Now, what kind of a sadhu is that? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that Ramananda Rai, his concept in doing so was wholly spiritual. He didn't see these bodies of young girls as something for his own personal enjoyment, but being fully situated on the spiritual platform, he considered them that they are to dance for Lord Jagannath. So he didn't have any tinge of mundane attraction to them. He saw everything in the world as being enjoyable for Lord Jagannath. And therefore, even in bathing them, his mind was not disturbed in the slightest, because he simply saw himself as a servant of the servants of Lord Jagannath. That they have to dance for him, I have to prepare them for that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is possible only for Rai Ramananda. Don't try to imitate this. The servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they demonstrated different principles. Rai Ramananda demonstrated in his practical life the principle of totally conquering the influence of lust by his absorption in service to Krishna. So he was a highly exalted devotee. Exalted means he's Vishakha. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over South India, and he actually met Ramananda Rai on Savabhaum Bhattacharya's recommendation. And when he came back, we met Savabhaum, he said, I didn't really meet any Vaishnav who I could discuss with all these things. Only one, Ramananda. My whole trip to South India, the one person I met was Ramananda. Ramananda Rai asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after they'd been discussing for some nights, they would come at night and meet. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why don't you stay here for a long time, then we can go and discuss it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm not going to stay here and discuss with you a long time, because any long time won't be long enough. You go to Puri, you leave all your everything here, go and live at Puri, I'm coming back and we'll spend our whole lives together. Because a few days will not satisfy we need to spend our whole lives together. I cannot, having discussed with you, I can realize that I cannot live with any satisfaction unless I spend my whole life with you. So then after traveling through South India, and then he went to Vrindavan sometimes, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled here and there, but then he spent the last 18 years of his manifest presence, living at Puri, and daytime various activities, but at night he would spend with Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, simply all night discussing about Krishna. So their preliminary talks are summarized in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the fulcrum of their talks, or the end of one series of talks and the beginning of another, is this verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam. That one should give up this puffed up endeavor to think that I can understand the absolute truth simply by studying and becoming a big jnani and becoming a big ascetic. Better to become humble is essential. One becomes humble to hear from devotees. One should spend one's life hearing from devotees. Hearing from devotees means hearing about Krishna, because devotees don't discuss about who's going to be the next president of America. They may say in passing, but it's not the topic of their meditation, or who will win the next election in India, who will win the test match. It's not their subject matter. Devotee's subject matter is Krishna. So, sthane sthita shuti yathang tanuvang manobhya. dedicating their lives, whatever situation they may be in. They're not so much anxious that, first of all, I have to do this. First of all, I have to make this adjustment, that adjustment, another adjustment. But the only real adjustment we have to make in our lives is how to hear and chant about Krishna and dedicate our lives in the service of Krishna. And one who does so, Lord Brahma says, ye prayasho jijajitopi apitai strilokyam. By doing so, simply by this, dedicating one's life to hearing about Krishna from pure devotees, simply by that endeavor, one can conquer Krishna. One can render his name Ajit as being incorrect. He is Ajit. He cannot be conquered by any amount of karma, any number of pious activities. He cannot be impressed by any amount of Vedic study or any yoga performance. Krishna is, what is it? Karma means karma kanda culminates in yajna. But Krishna is yajneshva. Jnana. That is study of the Vedas. But Krishna himself, Vedaishya Sarvam Aham Eva Vedyo, Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. He is the giver of the Vedas, the knower of the Vedas, the object of the Vedas. So Krishna cannot be conquered by karma, cannot be conquered by jnana, even though the jnanis, they may try to conquer him by thinking that we shall forcefully take liberation. But they don't actually conquer even their own senses. What to speak of conquering Krishna? And the yogis, they're also, they must be subordinate to Krishna because he is Yogeshwara. But we don't find any name of Krishna, Bhakteshwara. He is Sattvatangpati. He is the Lord of the devotees. But we don't find any name that he is the controller of the devotees. Rather, the devotees, they will control Krishna. Who is Ajit? He is unconquerable. But he is conquered by the love of the devotees. Therefore, we find in Rupa Goswami's analysis of bhakti that he, in the very beginning, he says that bhakti is so powerful, is more powerful than God, because he is controlled by bhakti. So bhaktas, they are the most ambitious. Sometimes people say to devotees, that why aren't you ambitious? You see, why don't you work hard and get ahead and get a better job and better career? But devotees have no interest in these petty ambition to become a big shot in this material world. They have a much greater ambition, which is to control Krishna, to control God. But he cannot be controlled by Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri. He himself is giving all these things. So how he won't be controlled by that. But he is controlled by the love of his devotees. And this is the actual subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. The subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is the Lord's mercy upon his devotees. This mercy is manifested at its highest stages by the Lord's becoming dependent upon His devotees. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko yo bah eko. Oh my, oh, it's ordinary verses. I know I'm reading all these high verses and forgetting all the ordinary ones. Eko bahunam yo viditati kama. That there's one supreme eternal among all the eternals, one supreme conscious, who is the supreme conscious, who is fulfilling the desires and the necessities of all others. So His mercy, generally we ask for the mercy of the Lord, give me this, give me that, give me something else. But highest mercy, if the Lord becomes apparently dependent upon His devotees. Nandakiwa, that Parikshit Maharaj asked to Shukadeva Goswami, Nandakim Akharod Brahman. What did Nanda Maharaj do? Yashoda cha Mahabhaga. And what did Yashoda do? Most fortunate that Stano Pibam Bhagavan Hari, that the Supreme Lord drank milk from her breasts. What kind of mercy? What did they do? What kind of mercy did they have? Shukadeva Goswami explained that in previous life, Drona and Dhara, they were asked by Lord Brahma to create population. He said, we like to have the Supreme Lord as our son. And thus they did. This is compared to Vasudeva and Devaki, who was Prishni and Sutapa. They performed austerities and they had the Lord as their son, but in a different mood to that of Yashoda and Nanda. So that their mood was not one of such complete love as that of Devaki and Vasudev. Their love was not as complete of that as that of Yashoda and Nanda. That they were able to have such mercy. So the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda continues on the Eho hoi age kohoa. This is acceptable. Now you speak some more. This is yes, I accept. This is pure devotion. Now tell me more. And Ramananda Rai went on and on explaining what are the different stages of love of Krishna. So Prabhupada summarized all these, actually explained in some great detail, all these conversations in Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, very important book that describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Mayavada, not only defeated the Mayavada of Sarvabhauma and Prakashananda, but made them devotees. He didn't just defeat them and kick them out, but he defeated them and brought them in and made them devotees. Then his discussions with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, teaching the science of God. And with Ramananda Rai, discussion of the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life, which is to attain a love for Krishna. Love beyond surrender. Mostly we're teaching surrender. What is this nonsense material world? Why be attached? Surrender to Krishna. But then we should know we surrender to Krishna, then what? Just like I used to ask questions as a child. They say, "Well, you love God. Don't eat meat on Fridays. Only eat fish." That's the Catholic. They used to do that. Yeah. They're from Catholic country. Don't eat meat on Friday. Only eat fish. You see, this is their religion. So you follow and you say, "Well, what for? What do you get from it? What's it all about?" You say, "Well, if you, the main thing they can inspire you with is that, well, if you do all these things, you're a good Catholic. You go to church and you pray, then you go to heaven. And what happens there? Well, not much description of that. But if you don't do it, you go to hell. So fear God." So, not very satisfying. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that we should attain love of Krishna following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. That is a desirable goal for those who have the those whose senses are not so blunt and dull and gross. They can appreciate that this goal is certainly worth striving for, that we can attain love for Krishna, that this love of Krishna is so wonderful that Krishna himself, he thinks, "I'm the supreme enjoyer, but actually my devotees, they get more pleasure from serving me than I get from being served by them, so I'd better become a devotee and find out what it's all about. I'm getting cheated here." You've seen that picture of Krishna, baby Krishna, lying on the leaf, sucking his toe. And he's thinking that, "Well, I'm God, and all the devotees, they're very anxious to get the nectar from my lotus feet. Must be good. Let's suck my toe and see what it's all about." The devotees take Charanamrita and feel great bliss. "Well, what about me? Well, I can't get it also?" So this is actually a very confidential subject matter. We don't go on the streets and talk about Ramananda Rai, how he's discussing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People are very dull-headed and foolish. And they think the goal of life is to roar around on motorcycles with girls dressed in tight t-shirts and jeans and very low class. Foolish. Long way from understanding what is the ultimate goal of life. Or they're religious, very religious. Put some bananas on your auto rickshaw, it's puja time. So, all right, that's better, I guess it's something. It's better than not putting bananas, not doing any pujas. But it's a long, long way from love of God. Fortunately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the process by which we can attain to that love. Even we're stuck in this absolutely, totally foolish and sinful society. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process by chanting Hare Krishna and by hearing from devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed this. Stane sito shutigatang tana. Go on hearing about Krishna from devotees, so that we can understand what is the goal of life and how to attain it. And by hearing from devotees, we will also become eager to develop what they have got. Prabhupada, there's an incident that's described. Prabhupada in New York, he had printed some handout, some flyer, handbill, on which was printed the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And before he'd started his ISKCON society, he was, in his own words, wandering the streets of New York and meeting people and trying to preach. And one man described to him that Prabhupada gave him a handbill. Now, you know, people hand out handbills. And mostly people don't take them. If they take them, they look at it and just throw it away. Yeah, well, you don't give a handbill any importance. But he described, this man described how Prabhupada handed him this handbill, and he gave it to me, and he looked at me with a smile on his face, as if he had given me the whole world. And you give a handbill, you know, what is a handbill? You know, it's just, you know, just you can't be bothered with it. But Prabhupada, like, he'd given the whole world. What this man didn't realize is that Prabhupada had given him something far greater than the whole world, the Hare Krishna mantra. There's a saying of Lord Jesus Christ, what does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So Prabhupada giving the Hare Krishna mantra gave more than the whole world. Prabhupada gave Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving Krishna. Prabhupada would sit on his Vyasasan and speak about Krishna. Then during the day, he would preach to people about Krishna. At night, he would dictate his books. He was constantly speaking, giving Krishna, giving knowledge of Krishna. Everything he spoke was how to attain Krishna, whatever it was, the different descriptions of Prabhupada would, so many times people become surprised. Prabhupada was a nonsense, fool, rascal, animal, all these different things. Prabhupada was so much against this cheating in the name of science. If anyone is to be a follower of Prabhupada, he must be committedly against Darwinism. You can't say I'm a follower of Prabhupada and not be against all, because Prabhupada, he invested so much energy. But why this? Anyway, I don't know how to use it. Yeah, that's okay. It's now the sound is coming. That's good enough. So, why Prabhupada was saying all these, sometimes people say, well, why didn't he just speak about love of Krishna? Because we can't have love for Krishna if we subscribe to all these bogus cheating ideas. So Prabhupada was angry at these rascals who are cheating people and filling their ears with all nonsense instead of filling their ears with Krishna Katha. As long as we are attached to all these bogus ideas, we cannot be attached to Krishna. So Prabhupada was clearing away all this nonsense and giving us that which is worth more than anything in the world. Anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna is more fortunate than Miss World or Bill Gates or Sonia Gandhi or anyone. They have got something far more valuable. The problem is that we don't realize that. We take to chanting Hare Krishna and still we're thinking there's something of value in this world. As long as we're thinking there's anything of any value in this world, we have to come back to it. So, Prem Pracharan or Pashanda Dalan, Dui Kaj Avadhut Karen Brahman, Nityananda Prabhu traveled with two purposes, preaching Prem, love of Krishna, and Pashanda Dalan, subduing the atheists. Preaching against Darwinism and all these different things. This is Pashanda Dalan. All the wrong ideas. So we cannot, there's no question of Krishna, this Krishna Prem, such relishable thing that Krishna himself is coming to relish. But we cannot have that as long as we are trying to enjoy this material world. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has told that, my dear friends, if you are still attracted to family, friends, society, all the enjoyable things of this material world, then I must warn you, do not go to Keshigat in the moonlight, because there is one very dangerous boy standing there playing on his flute. So, if the mind is captured by Krishna, then he will give up his attraction to everything that is Krishnetara, everything that is considered as not having a relationship with Krishna. So we're so unfortunate that we have the opportunity to develop love of Krishna, but instead, if we have this opportunity, but we're still interested in developing affection for dogs, cats, cricket stars, politicians, so-called friends and relatives, then we are most unfortunate. Vanchitosmi, 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 asangshayaha, vishvam gora rase magnam sparsho pi ramana bhavat. I am cheated, I am deprived, I am certainly cheated because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has, the whole world has become inundated in love, the love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought, but not even one drop has touched me. We're so unfortunate. But we should become fortunate by realizing what valuable things we have. What valuable things Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada went on translating up to his last breath. Even he couldn't speak, but he went on speaking. The choked words were coming out. There's no life in the body, and no energy in the body, but Prabhupada's spiritual energy forced the worn-out body to speak the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, because so much required for human society that if we can, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, get one drop of a drop of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give, love of Krishna, beyond surrender, charam shlok of the Ramanuja Sampradaya, Savadhaman Parityaja, the highest attainment. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his teachings begin after this. If we can just begin to appreciate this, then surely we will not have any attraction to anything else in this world. If we maintain any attraction, then we are simply cheating ourselves. So let us try to understand what gifts Prabhupada has come to give. Krishna consciousness is not a process of increasing our sense enjoyment or maintaining sense enjoyment at any level. But Krishna consciousness means simply to act for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we can just understand what is this consciousness, then that is the perfection of life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that everything I have to teach is simply on this basis, simply to understand I am not the center of the universe. I am not the seer. Krishna is the seer. I am to be seen by Krishna. I am not the enjoyer. I am not meant to even enjoy Krishna consciousness. I am meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. If we can just take up this consciousness, then we can enter into Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? Why don't you do it? I don't know how to do it. All right, now it's done. Anyway, whatever. If we can serve Krishna better by this, then we should do so. If not, we shouldn't. So we're serving Krishna better. I can hear at the back. All right. Then you, yeah, please.
Last words you used, the last topic you said, you just try to become that we are being injured by the Lord. We are not the center of the universe. Many times we attempt this, and at the same time, the ego and mind use a lot of allurements.
The mind doesn't give a lot of allurements, the mind accepts allurements. What are the two functions of the mind? Yeah, so? You can reject, but we don't reject. When we say my mind is just an excuse, it means me. I'm the rascal. So take up service to Krishna. Then there won't be any possibility of anything else to do. How many of you read Srimad Bhagavatam at least one time through? Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavatam. You've done so? You've done so. When are you all going to do it? When do you plan to do? You're going to do it in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? When? When are you going to do that? No reply? Very slow means what? 15 years it's going to take you to finish? You have to read again and again, remember. When you finish again, you have to read. So set some goals. You're all... Set some goals. 2 years. Finish. So then you won't have any time for all this nonsense. You have to... I have to finish Bhagavatam. I have to read through it. And reading means reading carefully also. Unless we have Krishna conscious activities, then we're going to have Maya activities. And you have to distribute the books also. So many things we have to do in Krishna's service.
Well, I've read up to 9th canto, but before starting the 10th canto, I was just trying to think for myself whether there's a... One should think whether... One has
the
purity before reading the
10th
canto.
You're asking my opinion? Go ahead. Are you a meat eater? Are you a Mayavadi? Okay, you can read it. Why did I ask those two questions? Nivritta tarshai rupa giyamanad bhavosho dat chotra mano bhiramad ka uttama shloka gunana vanat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. In the beginning of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, we find Parikshit Maharaj saying that those who are nivritta trishna, those who are free from material thirst, the thirst for material sense enjoyment, they glorify Krishna in the parampara system. Hearing this glorification is the medicine for material life, and it's not only a medicine, but hearing such topics is very pleasing to the mind. So, considering this, that Krishna is glorified in all the best verses. There are so many verses in the Vedic literatures. Don't kill spiders, and you get this result for doing this. And this is Vyasadeva's, his magnum opus in his the Vedam Vastavam Atra Vastu, is the actual substance of the Vedas. So, who will not desire to hear such topics except one who is killing himself, which means either meat eater or a Mayavadi. So you're not a meat eater, you're not a Mayavadi. You've read 9 cantos, read the 10th canto. And the 11th canto, and the 12th canto. Then the 1st canto. Then when you start reading the 1st canto again, you'll think, wow, I didn't really read anything. And every time you go through, you'll find, oh, I didn't realize that was there. So why don't you do this? Make a program to study. First of all, Bhagavad Gita. Don't neglect Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You must read also Nectar of Devotion and Srimad Bhagavatam. No TV. Just don't keep a TV in your house. Get it out. Get the dog out, get the TV out, and get Srimad Bhagavatam. Make your life meaningful. Yeah, always remember this dancing is for Krishna's pleasure, not for my pleasure. Don't dance with your back to the deities. What is this? You're dancing for Krishna, and you're there, Krishna has come, and then I'm enjoying myself and forget Krishna, you know, to hell with Krishna. We should be aware. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious, aware of Krishna. So please be aware when we're in the temple room that we're here to dance for the pleasure of Krishna, not that we're all enjoying ourselves with our backs to Krishna. And this is not proper. Be aware, this is for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna likes that his devotees dance for him. That's stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So with that consciousness, we should dance. Why? Why do they do that? It means they're not thinking of Krishna. They're not thinking that here is Krishna, we're supposed to be dancing for his pleasure. Is it? What do you think? If someone, they're talking to you with their back, it means not very much regard. If they're showing you their back, they don't have much regard for you, isn't it? You're calling out to Krishna. Oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. But you're so neglectful, you won't even look at him. You won't even show yourself to him, show your face to him. It's a strange mentality. It seems strange to me. It's stated in, if you read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's stated that one should not show one's back to the deity. It's an important rule. Prabhupada was very strict about this. Ramananda Rai. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita. You won't understand it. But you can find out, at least from the point of view of, if you want to become a scholar, you can find out what they discussed by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. But you'll have to read it many times to begin to understand it. But first you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. What they discussed is on such a high level that it's not meant for discussing publicly or even in a group of devotees unless they happen to be on an extraordinarily elevated platform. Not the talks between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. They weren't discussing to elicit what is the goal of life. They were discussing to relish topics of Krishna. Their discussion was not like some scientific discussion or anything like that. Anyway, don't mind, but this is beyond you and beyond me. It's just like, if you ask me, if you ask even a physics professor, explain to me, what does it mean, E equals mc squared? He can't explain, he doesn't know. And even if he has some insights into it, you can't understand. So why should he explain to you? You have to go step by step. This is the very highest level. Please chant Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.